Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and the Legacy and Faith Show with tax and estate planning attorney Paul Grant. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Yes, it's been a beautiful May so far. I think even this episode is going to be going out on the airways at the end of May, and so we'll see if the weather continues. It's glorious outside right now.
Kids are getting ready to maybe have the summer off, unless they are maybe a little bit older, but we're talking about kids this week and how to plan for the guardianship of your children if you should pass away.
Yeah, it's a very big topic. So, what happens for parents if they are creating an estate plan? And of course, let's start right there, which is that everyone needs to be thinking about creating an estate plan one way or another. Mm-hmm. And specifically when we have younger children, it's something that we think about. And I have to be honest, I didn't have one when I was raising my kids, because mm-hmm. my journey has been that I went to law school when I was 38 years old, and my girls were already 7 and 8 years old. Mm-hmm. By the time I got out of law school, they were 11 and 12. And so so that's the first time, because I went to law school, that I found out, gosh, I should really be thinking about this. I didn't have someone around me to kind of give me a better guidance to say, you should be thinking about these issues because you have small kids. Of course, we hear it. Mm. We intuitively think about it. But then I'm not so sure that there's a lot of guidance on the topic or a voice that is making that final push and encouragement to say, let's get this done. And it's a daunting task to really consider.
So, and more than just making sure you have some kind of term life insurance policy, there's a real plan that you can put in place that can really take care of your kids.
Absolutely. And finances is just one small portion of it. Mm-hmm. And that's a great insight, which is, I think that we start thinking about term life insurance, having a little bit of money around us, paying a smaller premium just to make sure that there's a financial hit in the arm, thinking that, well, if something happens to me, this is going to make up at least a little bit for my surviving spouse, mm-hmm. help them through it. But we always want to make sure that we plan for that catastrophic event. And that's really where families get flipped upside down. I mean, look, losing a spouse at any point in time, losing a father at any or a mother at any point in time is devastating just to begin with. You know, walking into the show as I was preparing for it, I was thinking about a couple of friends that I've lost in the past year, actually. Both of them are right in their mid-40s. Hmm. Both of them have small children. One of my friends back in Michigan, he left a 20-year-old daughter, a 17-year-old son, and then a 12-year-old daughter. Mm. And so, and then more recently, someone in their mid-40s passed away, and he's left 11 and 9-year-olds behind. Mm. Now, fortunately, in both of these scenarios, the mom is still there.
Okay.
And so we didn't lose both parents. But unfortunately, we've lost one. And with proper planning, we want to make sure that even if we lose one versus both, that we have a plan of action, that we know exactly what would happen, and that we've had the conversation again. So how many times during our time together, Mark, have I said, we need to have the conversation? We just need a starting point to sit down and say, what do you need, and is your estate secure, and is it ready? And so part of that would be the financial discussion of, do we have enough life insurance? But the other portion then is, do we have the proper legal documents in place, and are they ready to then kind of come in and start operating if indeed someone is lost? And so some of those legal documents we want to talk about here today, and what exactly is necessary for parents to be considering and putting into place. So let's take a crack at some of the legal documents.
Okay, some of the legal documents. What's the first thing you need?
Well, as for everybody, we need some sort of an estate plan to start the day. So we need a will or a trust in order to create an estate plan just as a starting point. Now, here's one of the things that a will does that a trust cannot do, which is that it names guardians. So even if we said, okay, a trust is a better mechanism specifically for minors, because as a reminder to our audience, a trust is like a holding container. It is able to hold assets, and then it is able to distribute those assets with specific instructions and over a period of time. Versus a will, I call it a check writing instrument. At the end of the day, it can only write a check. Now, the one thing that a will needs to do is name the legal guardians, because a will is the document that we take to court. So, if we are in front of a court system, if we lost parents and there's no other parent to take care of the child, the court needs to intervene and assign the legal rights, such as parental rights, to another individual. So, one way or another, if we were to lose both parents, or if you're in a scenario to where maybe one of the parents' parenting rights have been terminated for one reason or another, and you are truly a single parent.
Yeah, which is more and more common.
It is. It really is. And so therefore, it's possible that you are in a true single parent mode, to where if something happened to you, there is no other parent to take over who would legally take over. Now, in blended marriages, that is also another big gap, because sometimes we start building a different family thinking that the new spouse would automatically take over, but that is not true. The birth parents, okay, the blood parents are the ones who have the legal right unless parenting rights have been extinguished. So there's a lot of things that we need to be talking about and considering as we put forward the legal documents. So in a guardianship situation, if we are going to transfer legal parenting rights, it is necessary that a court is involved one way or another. So in the will, because the will is entrance into the court, that's where we put guardianships. Okay. So a will then accomplishes several things. It accomplishes who is going to close my estate. That's called the personal representative. And so it names the person who would stand in your place and communicate with the court on your behalf. And then a will also says, well, who are the beneficiaries? Who do I want to receive if I'm no longer here? And so obviously today we're talking about things moving to the level of the children, but specifically minor children. So now we've named who we want to receive the goods, the leftover, the property. Mm-hmm. Then we need to name who is going to caretake. In other words, who's going to be the parent, the guardian over the child if we're no longer here. So we have several moving parts mm-hmm. in this will now. And let me say one thing very quickly. It is Washington law, according to how I read statute, that if someone inherits through a will or through a beneficiary designation, because remember, that is a kind of a probate runaround. If I name somebody on my life insurance and I name my spouse first, but then I name my children as contingents, something happens to my wife and I simultaneously. So one way or another, now it's my children's turn to inherit that life insurance policy. If I have not set up a proper trust, they will receive those funds at the age of 18. And so we have several things to really pull out in this series about how do we prepare our estate if we have minor children. And for most individuals, I have to say that when I come in and sit down with them And I say, how do you feel about an 18-year-old getting a $500,000 life insurance policy? What would you imagine most people's response is?
Oh, boy, I don't think they can handle that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no thank you. Mm. And so then in a high majority of situations, a will is an inappropriate tool. I'm not saying that it's always an inappropriate tool. Mm. But if parents want to have more control over an 18-year-old getting their split when they turn 18, then we need to do some better, more specific and strategic planning. Here, let me tell you one quick story about 18-year-olds receiving inheritances. This is just, you know, sometimes I think that God just gives me little gifts to give me stories sometimes. But these are real people's lives. So this has only happened once, and it may be the only time it happens in my career. But because it actually happened, I now get to express the story. So I walked into court. And when you walk into court and you sign up on the docket list, and then they just pretty much simply take you in order. So I was number 4. And that morning, I don't know who's in front of me other than just names when I sign in. 2 of the 3 cases ahead of me were 18-year-olds standing before a judge receiving more than $250,000 each. Mm. Wow. I wish I had the opportunity to follow those kids and find out. Now it's been about 3 years. So I'd love to see where those now 21, 22, 23, someplace in there, year olds are financially with receiving a one-time inheritance at the age of 18. Mm. Now, the reason that they're there at the age of 18, because the court stepped in. It managed the money, okay? The court set up a system in order for the money to be managed under its purview to make sure that it was properly utilized for that child's sake. But then when they turn 18, they have the right to go before the court and say, Judge, I'm of legal age and I no longer need the conservator watching over my money, so can I receive my check? And guess what the judge says?
Yes, you can.
Yes. Yeah. So we don't care how you're going to use it. Mm. It is now legally yours.
These were kids then probably who didn't have any kind of an estate plan that they were working under.
Yeah. From what I could gather from the very quick proceedings, one of them specifically was a life insurance policy. And unfortunately, that young lady lost her mom several years ago. And so that is highly unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we need to have a full discussion about what do we do if we want to avoid that specific circumstance that says, I really don't want the court or the guardian just writing my kids a check at the age of 18, no matter where the money comes from. So we need to talk about who the proper fit for guardians is. How do we manage money and how do we begin to prepare an estate plan for maybe something that most 30-year-olds can't even truly imagine, actually. Right. Mm. And so let's continue the conversation here after break with, well, let's get into talking about what are we going to do as far as who do we select as a guardian over our children if we're not going to be here.
Okay. Interesting discussion this week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Paul, people are intrigued. They know they need some help already. How do they get in touch with you?
Come on over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. You can download previous podcasts. There's information. We do educational sessions, which now, by the way, are going to be hosted by web. And so you can sign up to either come in person or you can sign up to be linked online and watch us through at the comfort of your home.
Okay.
So lots of information, legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com. Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Are you aware that most estate plans don't work? Hi, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS AM 630. If you are considering creating your own estate plan and don't know where to start, or would like to know why most estate plans don't work, I invite you to attend an educational session on the truth about estate planning on Monday, June 11th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can register at legacyandfaith.com in the events tab. And good news, you can attend in person at our Linwood office, or you can now attend online via live streaming. Many listeners have desired to join our educational program from around the Pacific Northwest, and now you can do so without traveling. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and register for the Truth About Estate Planning on Monday, June 11th at 6:30. That's legacyandfaith.com, where you can also download podcasts from our previous episodes and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Planning with Purpose, the law offices of Paul Grant, is accepting applications for a part-time office assistant and is always seeking highly motivated and exceptional attorneys. If you're interested in joining a team that seeks to serve families, then go to legacyandfaith.com and use the website's email option to express your interest.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, discussing guardianship this week on the Legacy and Faith Show is making me think of the whole thing with like the J. Paul Getty, and that's been dramatized in films and TV shows recently, and how these giant estates that their kids were left with really, in many ways, ruined their lives. And we want to avoid that.
Yeah, there is a possibility of that as well. There's some strong warnings in Scripture, I believe, that that allude to instant wealth or instant money. And Proverbs says that that it'll be wasted, actually. And so we want to safeguard against these things and really have a conversation about designing something with intentionality. So we were talking in the last segment there about what type of documents that you need, and we started with a will or a trust. Now, of course, I've talked about wills and trust in different podcasts, so you can go and download some of those past shows again. I don't want to get too much into it, but in this circumstance, the best scenario, in my opinion, is we need a combination there. We always need that combination of a will in order to hold the money so that it can be given out according to the intentionality of the parents over a long period of time to assist the children. But then we also need that will document in order to name the guardian and make sure that we go through the court process smoothly and properly so that the guardian can be legally enacted over the child. Now, a guardian is, in essence, the next parent.
Right. I would think that would go without saying. So that's why I'm wondering, why do you need all of this if you're happily married and the existing spouse is still there and can call the shots? You say they still need some documents to make this happen properly?
Yeah, so great question. If a current parent is still living, then no, then these documents are not needed. However, my job is to plan for the worst case scenario.
Right. Okay.
And then my job is to take the worst case scenario and build from that platform and make sure that I hit every other thing that I could possibly imagine working from that worst case. So the worst case scenario is that something happens to both parents, whether it's simultaneously, whether it's within a short period of time. And again, we talked about that there are some individuals who are truly a single parent. There is no other parent out there.
Right.
And so they may then fall upon these documents. So if you are married, then this is the safeguard that says this is the ultimate protection that I need for my kids.
Okay.
It's the, we went out for a quick dinner and on the way back, we never made it home and the babysitter is still with the kids. So that's the worst case scenario.
That is the worst case, yeah.
Okay. And so my job is to plan for that and hope that it never gets enacted, right?
Right.
So therefore, the other thing that we need is we need a guardian plus a conservator. So the guardian is the next parent. The conservator is the one who watches the money. And we were talking about what legal documents a young couple need to be considering. So we've got the will or the trust. Of course, everyone needs powers of attorney, financial. We need healthcare powers of attorney. We need end-of-life documents. We could go into story and stories about that. There was a woman back, oh gosh, it's almost been 10 years now, back in Florida that made national news, and how her husband said, no, she wanted life support to be extinguished, but mom and dad got in the way.
Right.
And this went on for a 6-year court battle. And this young lady in her young 30s was left on life support until the courts could come in and figure it out. So that end of life document is a critical document to voice, this is what I want. So there are a lot of well-meaning people who probably love you and want the best for you. The problem is that they would have different points of view of what that means to take care of you.
Right.
So we need to address the legal issues as far as estate planning. And so that end-of-life document is also a very important document to make sure that if we were in that end-of-life situation, we've communicated so that there's no family interruption, because they love you and they have emotional attachments and they're doing what they believe is best for your best interest. So communication is key in all these things. Mm. Now, when we talk about minor children, then we also need instructions for a guardian. So there could also be a need for a temporary guardian. So what if I'm coming back from that dinner date with my wife? One of us is lost, but the other one is now in the hospital for 6 months recuperating. So we didn't lose both, but who's going to have the legal authority if it's a temporary issue so that I can recover? And so there is a guardian power of attorney that we also need to have in our estate plan when we have minor children. And what that does is that gives legal rights over a guardian to make educational decisions for our children,
okay,
healthcare decisions over the child, traveling issues would need to be in there. Where to live. So are we going to move the kids in with Aunt Betsy, who lives back in Wisconsin? Or is Aunt Betsy going to move here for a period of time to make sure that the kids have some sort of stability? Mm. So someone has to have the legal authority to make those decisions in a temporary status over the children as well. So sometimes we think, well, this is only for death issues. No, this is for life issues as well.
Mm.
Estate planning, and good estate planning, should anticipate and have everything ready for your lifetime, as well as anticipating what happens if you pass away. And so during our lifetime, the documents are those powers of attorney, which, if you have minor children, include powers to assign your parental rights to somebody, but on a temporary basis, so that if you're unable to continue your parenting role, someone else is able to.
So, okay, well, so a question then for me is, how do you pick the guardian? Who should be the guardian?
Well, this is a tough one.
Other than the other spouse.
Yeah, correct. This is a tough one. And I would say that this is such a point of contention for most young marrieds that it is the one issue that stops them from coming into my office.
Oh, really?
Okay. So is, well, I want my sister. Well, why is my brother not sufficient enough? Well, because your brother. Well, but how about your sister? And all of a sudden, we've got a point of contention.
Mm.
Unfortunately, what we do in our humanness is we take points of contention, and because we're emotional creatures made in the image of God, we start getting a little bit more emotional about these topics. As you would imagine, having children is a very emotional issue, and we emotionally very quickly get involved with wanting to ensure their safety above all else.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a big deal. Who to select as your guardian? So number one is that if you are a young parent out there, or if you have grandchildren and you're watching your kids raise their children and you know that they have not had these documents in place. Oh, by the way, please gift it to them. Do something to help your kids out so that they can have these critical documents in place. But if you're watching over them and there is going to be a point of contention for many individuals saying, I'm not sure who I want. And what we're doing is we're really taking an idealistic person and we're trying to select an idealistic person to care for our children. And so it's very, very difficult, but I would encourage young couples to not sit there and stagnate over this issue. Right. Come into the office. Let me help you. I've done this many, many times. I've helped young parents get to the right conclusion for right now. And then when we do estate planning correctly and we come into relationship with an estate planner instead of just get a document, I can help guide you over the course of your life and as your kids grow, if that needs to change.
And I would think the guardianship issue could change several times.
Several times, you're exactly right. I think sometimes we try to do estate planning as a once and done issue, and that is not estate planning. That's why we need a relationship. And so the starting point, like everything, is we need to have the conversation. I can help guide the conversation and work out some of these points of contention, but I can't do it just on a radio show. I got to get you into the office. So therefore, you're welcome. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's a way to communicate with me. There's email options. We know about podcasts. There's workshops coming up that address some of these issues of how do we select guardians. And so head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com. There's a host of information, and I'd love to be able to step in and be that voice, that neutral voice to help young parents work out this critical issue.
And I think some of your seminars are going to be broadcast online, too. They'll be able to watch them, attend them through the internet.
Yep, that's right. And so even from the convenience of your home, we'll have live internet status. You can ask questions, and we can answer them immediately. But yet we get that base information before we got to get you into the office. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. Would love to meet you. And we're going to continue this conversation over the next several weeks with how to select the proper guardian, conservator, and a lot more as far as what do we do with minor children.
Okay, the Legacy and Faith Show with tax and estate planning attorney Paul Grant once again here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.